Maybe he was abducted by a UFO.
I didn't think about that.
He never came back. He was getting anally probed on the ship, and then they just threw him out in space after they're finished. And maybe his spirit came back here. Maybe that could have happened.
Welcome to Talk About the Bridgewater Triangle, the show where we exclusively talk about the Bridgewater Triangle and nothing else. We're now on to part three of Talk About the Bridgewater Triangle, and how many times can you say Bridgewater Triangle? I'm Clay.
I'm Adam.
Bridgewater Triangle, 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 Bridgewater
Triangle. All right, guys. So, as Clay said, we are... You were listening to Talk About Scary. And Clay is doing the Indiana Jones noises again. Nice.
This is why we have to do three parts of this, because that's... I just keep talking about Indiana Jones and Disney and...
It's okay. You know, there's a lot of
singing
stuff.
And...
As I said in the very first episode, if you haven't heard this, this is part three of the Bridgewater Triangle. And if you haven't heard... the other two, number one and number two, please listen before you listen to this stuff. There's lots of great stuff. talk about Smurfs and all sorts of crazy stuff. So I hope you guys are gonna go listen to those.
So where are we starting this episode?
So we're starting with the ghosts, man.
Ghosts, yes. I gotta put my stuff down. Get ready.
Here we go.
Put my pants on. All right.
So we're flying over in the Bridgewater Triangle to Taunton, spelled T-A-U-N-T-O-N, Taunton State Hospital. People have reported strange happenings there, including having their shoulders and legs touched and pulled when entering certain areas of the hospital. There were areas of the hospital that were allegedly used by satanic cults in the 1960s and 1970s after its closing. So there you go with that already. We got some people saying that they've been, legs and shoulders have been touched. Touched by perverted ghosts wanting to touch them. And these areas that they said were used by satanic cults, there was a lot of satanic cult activity in the 70s in this area, as we've touched on the other episodes. So it's been proven that that actually is something that people aren't just saying and pulling out of their A's. They're actually...
Butts.
Yep, they're nuts for butts. They're not pulling it out of anywhere. It's not pulling out of thin air. There was a lot of satanic cult activity, a lot of human sacrifice and animal sacrifice in these areas. So maybe ghosts are happening now, or demons, who knows? But there's that.
Demons.
Now, more ghosts. Profile Rock. We've already discussed Profile Rock. It's the rock in another episode that looks like it has a face of a Native American on it. In the Fall River Freetown State Forest is the largest in the state and a location that has been tied to some grisly murders. We've talked about this before. We've touched on it, but we're going to go a bit further.
And again, go back and watch or
listen
to part one and part two, because if you're just tuning in and have not, that's like watching Lord of the Rings, Return of the King with no previous film.
That's what I did.
Like,
it was great.
You did that?
I even watched Fantastic Beasts without watching anything else first.
Well, technically, Fantastic Beasts takes place before Harry Potter.
Oh.
So that would be like watching The Hobbit, which I guess you could. Anyway, if you're just in it to watch Frodo throw the ring into the lava, then you're good. If you want the whole story about how we got to the volcano, go back.
Yeah, we can't recap everything. There's way too much stuff. But... So we are at Profile Rock talking about this. So they found there's been a lot of grisly murders that have happened at this rock. Discoveries of decomposing bodies and rumors of satanic activity. These aren't rumors. We know for a fact that Satanists have been arrested and tied to different murders and satanic rituals. So there's no rumors of satanic activity. They know that these activities did take place in the 70s. Paranormal experts argue that there is a strong negative energy that encompasses the forest and this is the reason for strange happenings here. Others believe that the forest is simply so accessible, just off Route 24 in Assonet. I hope I'm saying that right, people from Assonet. And it's so vast that people in surrounding towns utilize it to cover up their crimes. Part of the town has a funny word in it that I'm sure somebody has a limerick for somewhere, and every time I say it, Clay kind of chuckles, a breathy chuckle and smiles. But I believe that this is probably closest to what's happening in reality now. Is there people like, hey, we just murdered this kid for his money, let's just dump him over here and we'll say the ghosts did it, or the Satanists did it. So probably a fair swath of people who have died and gone missing and found in this area dead are probably from nefarious types of people dumping their bodies there in a very vast area, right?
Yeah.
I believe that's probably what it is. Clay has nothing to say about that. He wants to believe they're ghosts.
It could be the ghosts.
It could be the ghosts. But I think satanic rituals are the most terrifying thing you could possibly do. So I'm liking the satanic rituals part of it. I don't like satanic rituals. I just think for this is very fascinating stuff. Because humans are the scariest things on the planet. Whether or not whatever deity they're sacrificing things to, they're sacrificing things to something. That's scary. At the opposite end of the forest, the Assonet Ledge has a set of its own crazy legends. It's a very remote location, and people have reported seeing ghosts standing on top of the ledge and leaping before they just disappear into thin air. In a recent presentation in Dighton, I hope I'm saying that right, that's D-I-G-H-T-O-N.
Dighton.
Dighton. I think it's Dighton. But you know what? It's New England, so it's probably pronounced something entirely different. John Brightman from the New England Paranormal Research Group reported that he broke down on top of the ledge, after realizing a spirit had told him to jump or leave. Those are his quotes that the spirit told him. I don't know about that. Clay and I are not paranormal researchers. When we go to our investigations, it's more like two jackasses that want to see ghosts, right? We're not paranormal researchers. So some people might think that this guy, John Brightman, because he's a paranormal researcher, he wants to hear these things. So maybe he hears them, or maybe he's more sensitive to these occurrences, and that's why he does the job. I have not experienced these things.
But to break down, like...
Break down. And it's after he realized that the spirit had told him that. So he didn't realize it. He later realized that a spirit told him to. Didn't hear it at that point in time. And evidently he picked the leave portion of that ultimatum. He didn't pick the jump portion, which I'm glad he didn't, but that would have been a much more impressive story.
Seems more sensible and coincidental, though, to pick the leave portion.
Yeah. Which, you know what, John, we're not doubting you. I'm just saying that we have not experienced these kind of things, and it's our job to be dicks about things like that. So that's what we do. But I don't doubt the validity of your statement. People seem to believe it, and a lot of people have said they've seen things up there, and they've heard things up there on top of that ledge. So I'd like to go see it and see if I hear something. I'm not going to jump. I'm afraid of heights.
What
so.
If you hear wind?
It's probably just going to be wind. Absolutely. We'll have to do some drugs and go up there and see if we hear anything. So there's a one-room schoolhouse, the Horbine School. It's located in Rehoboth. I hope I'm saying that right. R-E-H-O-B-O-T-H.
Rehoboth.
One of us is saying it right. Guys, if you're from there and you're on our Instagram, please correct us. We would love to get a phonetic spelling of that. It's said to be haunted by its former inhabitants. Clay has done some research on this, and my research says it's built in the 1840s. Clay's research says it's built in the 1860s. It doesn't matter. It's 20 years difference, but, you know, it's significant difference
Seems like there should be proper record of it, though, especially because now it serves as a local history museum.
Yeah, but, you know, if you go, there's a bunch of different data on when it was built, right? It's all built in the 1800s, sometime mid-1800s, but...
What kind of museum...
Yeah, they're probably going to
say... Doesn't know when it was built.
They're probably going to split the diff of that museum, right? Probably go to the 1850s.
It was built in the 50s, dear
True.
Split the diff, as we say in the film world. No one knows what it means.
It is listed on the National Register of Historic Places and was listed in 1983. So there is some validity to this one-room schoolhouse.
There is. It's there.
It is there.
The school was in active use till 1937. So almost 100 years, depending on when it was actually built. However, visitors are allowed to visit the school on certain Sundays during the summer and by appointment. Over the years, visitors have reported hearing voices and other spectra in the school. Some believe the spirits were awakened by this when the structure was renovated in 1968 to celebrate the town's anniversary. And again, that is a common theme in all these hauntings and places. For one, I think that me personally, I hate to use the word predatory, but it feels like some of these small towns prey on the people who want to see something that might not be there. Perhaps they, you know, they have a dwindling population, and it's a great way to create some revenue for the town or for the, depending on who owns it. This looks like it's a museum, so it's probably not a privately owned museum, but perhaps it is.
It's interesting too, because the front entrance is centered, the door, and it has symmetrical windows on either side of the door, but the side walls have four windows that are irregularly placed. So, not that it really means anything, but you're just talking about like a one-room schoolhouse. It's, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at the picture of it now too, and I do see that the windows are like, what? Who built this?
Is it? You know, my wife went to a one-room schoolhouse for a little while. But she was from Montana, and
no one's from Montana. I've said that before in previous episodes. Yeah. Montana's not even real. No, those of you from Montana,
I think Matthew Fox lives in Montana now.
From did you Moscow. Not? I didn't say anything because no one's listening, so I stopped.
Oh yeah, that's true.
that one guy's like, hey.
There's a we can get more into that later on, but there's actually not a lot of information about the schoolhouse. There's no deaths there that were reported. No satanic cult activity. It just looks like one of those places. Like, everything in New England's haunted. Everybody's haunted. Everybody's got a haunted bathroom. Something is always haunted somewhere in New England.
Why is it always a bathroom?
I just make fun of it. Bathrooms are funny to me because poop happens there. and naked showers happen there.
Naked showers.
Nice. Now, this is one of my favorites, just like the Pygmies of the last episode. This is one of my favorites, and it's probably because of the town name, but we'll get into it. There's a stretch of road along Route 44 in Seekonk. S-E-E-K-O-N-K. Seekonk.
Seekonk.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Again, feel free to correct us. We love being corrected. Put your two cents in. We love it. Where the red-headed hitchhiker has become a regular phenomenon. Motorists have reported seeing a man with long red hair and a full beard walking along the roadside, but when they stop to pick him up, he disappears.
Ooh.
Ooh. Others have allegedly reported driving through the spirit and even having picked him up, and then he disappears after they pick him up.
Where to?
What the? Where'd you go? That would be scary.
He went where he was going.
It didn't happen. But it's scary. Now, one of my wife's and mine, and Clay's, I'm sure, his favorite podcast has Ash and Elena, and it's called Morbid. And they talk about this area because they live very close to it. And one of their friends was talking about when she was in high school and she was listening to some music. I think it was Rainbow Bridge. And she was doing a piano solo, air piano, and then she was doing an air drum solo. And she wasn't paying attention. And she looks to the side of the road and she sees this hitchhiker for the first time. And she looks back in the rear view after she passed him. She's freaking out. She knows exactly what she's seen. And she looks in the rear view and he's gone. Right? Mm-hmm. I might have misquoted that a little bit. You guys are more than welcome to listen to their podcast. But this story is still scary either way. And she drove up and down the road several times over the course of her high school career there. And she never saw it again. But she says she's seen it once. And she seemed like a pretty reputable person to talk about it. She just said, that was crazy. I've heard of it. I've never seen it again, just that one time. And I like people who say they've reported something and they've gone back to try to see it over and over and over again and it's never happened again. I find that more believable than someone's like, oh yes, like the paranormal investigators, like I've seen this here once and every time I go to a location, I find EVP or I find something because I'm so damn special.
I think that's the way it is. Like if you're trying to find something, you aren't gonna find it. It doesn't matter if it's ghosts or love. things have to happen naturally. So yeah, if you're air drumming a solo in the car and out the corner of your eye, you see this ghost hitchhiker. Yeah, you can't go back and try to find the ghost hitchhiker. It's gotta happen. Same with any other ghost.
Naturalmente, I think. And you know this, and again, when it comes to these kind of things, we actually did another talk about scary where what road was that in Hawaii, since you love Hawaii so much, where there was an apparition with a boy with a ball. Remember that?
Morgan's Corner.
Morgan's Corner. So these are common schemes that pop up all over the world, not just here. So do I think that there is a redheaded hitchhiker on Route 44 in Seekonk? No, I don't think that at all. If you guys thought I was going to say yes, I don't think that at all. I don't believe that's even there. I believe that people have heard the story enough that eventually your mind might play tricks on you, and out of your periphery, you might catch something. That's what I believe. Clay, on the other hand, believes in all that nonsense, and I'm sure he totally believes there is a redheaded hitchhiker that nobody knows, because there's no evidence of a hitchhiker ever being murdered that looked like that on that side of the road. So,
but he's real.
But he's real. So if this never happened in real life, then how is there a ghost walking around? I don't know. But you know what? I don't live there anymore. So maybe it's real. Who knows? I'm going to tell you I don't believe it is. Go check it out for yourself.
Well, and you don't have to. Does there really have to be a story behind these things?
I think there should be. I think there absolutely should. There should have to be one.
But I think it's like when a tree falls in a forest, if no one's around, does it make a sound? I mean, logically, yes, it still makes a sound just because no one is there to see it. So I'm going to go a little bit dark for a second. For reals, if you think about this, the perfect murder, no one will ever know about. If you get away with a murder, no one actually ever knows what happened to that person.
A lot of missing people.
But so, I mean, it's kind of the same thing. Like, yeah, this could be someone and something really happened to them, but maybe the whole planet doesn't know about it because whatever happened to him was not a story that was ever told.
Well, look, the guy is supposed to be a hitchhiker, right? So
how do we know that that's not just what the locals have, like, deemed him?
Well, they've picked him up. They said they picked him up. So he obviously, if he's real, he's not, knows how to get into cars. So he was born in an era where vehicles were commonplace. And it's probably in an era where not only vehicles commonplace, but the modern vehicle, something that we call a vehicle after the modern era, which would probably be 1950 beyond, where you can recognize the vehicle, 1940s, you can recognize vehicles too. It has to be something where they could recognize that vehicle, right? That's a car. That's clearly a car. It's got the four wheels. It doesn't have a crank in the front. It's a car. So it would be something along those lines. And from the description of what they call him, then he's wearing contemporary clothing and he's hitchhiking. Hitchhiking was mostly popular in the 60s and 70s, is when time was most popular. So he's probably a contemporary person. And if someone in that era went missing, somebody would miss him. So, but there's no talk about a missing person in all the research that we did. And we've mentioned this in other episodes, but we try to do our research. We do more than just Google.
What do you mean? There was a talk about a lot of missing people. And we talked
but they don't
about
talk about
the
this
animals.
Guy. They would normally tie him in, but I can't find a tie into this guy.
There was no names. There was just missing people was was said.
I said missing people, but there are, and I'll have to send these links if we can add them to our Instagram. We might not, there's too much stuff to add on this one to our Instagram, but we'll add some of them. Almost everybody that was mentioned as missing, there's a record of the missing person or finding their body in this area. This is one of my favorite spots, is because they actually have enough record to prove most of the stuff. And some of the people that have seen things, they're people that wouldn't want to ruin their careers over it. They're usually hesitant to come forward because they're higher profile people.
I totally understand that. I'm just saying I don't think that necessarily every ghost story needs to have some wild backstory as to why they're doing what they're doing or who they are.
I want
to
hear murder and mayhem. That's what I want to hear. Absolutely. But, you know, maybe they were abducted by UFOs. You ever think about that? Maybe he was abducted by a UFO.
I didn't think about that.
He never came back. He was getting anally probed on the ship, and then they just threw him out in space after they're finished. And maybe his spirit came back here. Maybe that could have happened. I know we haven't talked about UFOs yet, but guess what? Bridgewater Triangle's got aliens, y'all. So enjoy this one. Numerous UFO sightings in this place. But the most active time in the Bridgewater Triangle's history of UFO sightings happened to be, for some reason, the spring of 1979. Perhaps it was because of all of the extraterrestrial type movies that came out in 1979. It was a very popular subject back then. Reaching out to outer space was a very popular thing, you know?
The Final Frontier.
Yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers and stuff like that, right? So spring of 1979.
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's true. Spring of 1979, police departments were flooded with calls of UFO sightings. Now, my favorite report of all of these, I'm not going to get into all of them because this is going to take a while to get through, was two former television reporters for the local ABC Channel 5 at the time. It was the ABC affiliate. Reported seeing one. They were driving together down the road. Jerry Loebs and Steve Spracci. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. That's S-B-R-A-C-C-I-A. They were driving down Route 106 when they saw a bright light moving toward the road from the sky above the woods. This is their report. They both claim that it was a triangular shape that looked kind of like it was an arrow, kind of like a baseball, base. You know, this is what it kind of looked like. And there's some YouTubes where they're actually talking about it, and they're very open about it now, but Steve actually built kind of a replica of what he might have saw with lights on the side. It's pretty rudimentary. It just looks like a piece of, like, black marble that he cut and he put some stuff on. But to show what it looked like, they both said it was triangular in shape and it was like an arrow. Jerry said it was so close that it felt like he could throw a rock at it. It was so close. Jerry Loebs was an Air Force veteran, and he was in the Air Force for, I think, 4.5 or 5 years. And he saw all manner of aircraft, what they were building and things like that. He said he's never saw anything like this in his life. These guys are super reputable people. But he's never seen anything like that. Steve said that he estimates the size of this thing to be about the size of 5 747 jets from wing to wing. That's a huge aircraft for that size. Imagine the size of that. That's not the size of a stealth bomber.
No, that's big.
That's huge. Both noted that it flew away in a sudden manner. Several other people around that triangle also witnessed that exact UFO that night. Dozens of people contacted radio stations, newspapers, and police departments reporting this UFO. Each person on that night gave the same description of what the UFO looked like exactly. There was no, from everything I can see, all of the descriptions, all the drawings that were made, everybody saw the same exact thing. And in 1979, we weren't making huge stealth aircraft like that. I don't care what people say about Area 51 and like everything else. That's on the other side of the country. And all these people have seen this thing. I like UFO sightings because that is something that is not just plausible, but it's probable that aliens are real. And that, Neil deGrasse Tyson says that the probability of aliens being able to get to Earth is very slim. And he holds a theory that's kind of an interesting theory about a probability and why that's true. However, there's been so many people that have seen UFOs. And when UFO sightings happen and they gather all the information, especially way back then when there wasn't internet, there wasn't a proliferation of information, right? These people were all coming up with this information when they weren't contacting each other to talk about it and they didn't know each other. But they all came up with the same idea at the same time. So this is something when you talk about humans going missing that I think ties really well into like the activity of that area. I think that I could subscribe to that more than like ghosts walking down the street. I would say that these things, and you know, when they talk about those little people that we talked about, the Pukwudgeonee people, who's to say those aren't aliens? You know? I think that's really interesting. I don't know if you were more of an alien guy, Clay. You're probably not. I know that your favorite movie is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, so I'm sure that you do like
it's aliens. It's not my favorite movie.
But I'm sure you're really into it. And Clay watches Ancient Aliens.
I do.
So go feel free to contact him on the Instagram and totally rag on him. I want you to send him all the Ancient Alien memes you can find. Every one of them. But I'm also a believer in Ancient Aliens. And I'm not Ancient Aliens. I'm not in that theory. But I am a believer that we're not alone in the universe.
I think I'm just open to virtually everything. Because I think at the end of the day, and no one can convince me otherwise.
You heard it, boys. He's wide open.
I am. But seriously, no one can convince me otherwise. Because no one knows is exactly that. Nobody knows. No one knows what happens after you die. No one knows what's going on outside of what we can see as a species, what's going on in other galaxies, things like that. No one knows. So, yeah, you know, the likelihood is aliens probably can't get here because they're too far away and travel and blah, blah. And yeah, I get that. But also, how do we know that there's a species hundreds of thousands of light years away that we can't see because they're too far away that isn't 100 times more advanced than us, that to get here is like me coming to your house.
Yeah, like just making a wormhole.
That like we don't know. We have no idea. And you don't know either. I don't care who you are. You don't know. No, none of us know. So
I do. I like the UFO stuff a lot.
Yeah, I think the UFO stuff is interesting. It's not as scary to me, but I do like thinking about it. And Ancient Aliens is awesome.
Awesome. So whatever you guys think. I think that the...
Crazy, but awesome.
So, I mean, we've covered, as a recap, in this three-part series, which was crazy. And by the way, guys, I cut out so much information about the Bridgewater Triangle. I really would love for everybody who's listening to get on your laptops, get on your phones, get on your Commodore 64s, and just and read about it. Just the cryptozoology part of it alone could have taken a full episode, and almost did. But we talked about cryptids. We talked about ghosts. We talked about Native American curses.
Ooh, you slipped there.
Yeah, I like to say Native American. yeah. Native American curses. It has the Wampanoag. It's got Algonquins. It's got so much great stuff. The swamps, fantastic. We talked about Profile Rock, Solitude Stone. There's so much stuff. Thunderbirds are my favorite part of it, man. There was Satanist activity that happened here. There's so many things that happened. Dead people, missing people. And I swear I'm going to do this, just a whole episode on the Pukwudgeonee. Also spelled Pukwudgie. We're doing a whole special on that. I swear to you I will in another episode because I think tiny 3-foot people with spears and darts are all I want to talk about. That's all I ever want.
Warrior midgets.
I'd probably put them in the cryptid category if they're not aliens, probably. But I think that there's just so many things here. Haunted places, if you subscribe to those beliefs. There are so many places we couldn't talk about in the three episodes, and I'm probably never going to talk about for the rest of my life. You know, it's a super interesting place.
It is.
And you can't just cover one of the tiny places in there. I suppose we could do an entire season just on everything in the Bridgewater Triangle. Maybe next season, but we're not doing it this season. Maybe we'll do it by region next time. But
I will say though, just as someone who's like maybe what the listeners would think about this is, do you almost at some point while you're thinking about this, think that it's too much?
Yeah, I always think it's too much. But it seems like
what doesn't this place have?
It has everything. It really does. I'm sure I could think of something else. It's an odd space. It really is. And but I felt like it was one of those things that's also one of the most popular in paranormal lore. I would just say paranormal. I wouldn't even call it like, or supernatural. That really kind of, it says a lot, you know? Yeah. It has a lot of history, so whether or not it's true or not, any of it's true or any of it's not, just the lore behind it and the history behind it and the fact that it's just one of those places that's rich with really crazy stuff. And if nothing else, we know that a crap ton of people got murdered and sacrificed there. So at least that is scary in itself. I think we've touched on a little bit of everything. Something for everybody is in this episode, or in the last three episodes. Sorry it took so long to our listeners.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Clay didn't have a lot to talk about, so I'm kidding. feel free to go check out the Bridgewater Triangle. We'll give you the locations, but we'll give them to you again if you need them. And you can always, if you can't find the Bridgewater Triangle, which you should be able to, Hockomock Swamp is center of that. Tell the ghosts in the area that Clay and Adam sent you from Talk About Scary, get the Talk About Scary discount.
It's probably not a good idea to do that. I would imagine if you run into a ghost in the area, they're just probably wrong. Pissed off.
Or the Hawkwudgeonese or whatever. Yeah. Hawkwudgeonese.
I mean, most of the ghosts are, you know, Native Americans that are probably stuck in an endless loop of violence, reliving the hostile encounters with European forces.
Could be. It could be.
That invaded them.
And some of these towns are beautiful to go to, by the way. So if you just want to stay and get some coffee and not go for the ghosts, but go and give the town some of your money, feel free to do it. You know, and I think that's going to wrap it up for me on this three-part episode of the Bridgewater Triangle. So until next time, guys, you creeps, creep it real.
Yep. Creep it real.
Okay, there you go.
Burp. Burp, 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 burp.
Took so long burp, to get through this that you're actually falling asleep. Burp, 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 burp. Burp, 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 burp